Lord, in our lives, Lord, in our situations, Lord, everywhere, now or later, you remain Lord. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word. Thank you because it comes with simplicity but filled with power. Every jot of it filled with power to transform, to change, to convict, to instruct, to reprove, to rebuke, and equip. Thank you, Lord, because indeed also you confirm every word with signs, wonders, miracles, various distributions of the Holy Ghost. We give you all the glory, all the praise, in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 20. Very quickly, Judges 20. And if you don't mind, I'll ask you to stand. I'm only asking you to stand. There's nothing religious about it, special or spiritual. It's just to ensure that you stay focused, because it's a long read and I don't want people to get lost along the way. So stand on your feet as we read Judges 20. I want you to stay awake, stay alert, and follow. Judges chapter 20, and I read from verse 18. It says, "Then the children of Israel arose and went to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, 'Which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin?' The Lord said, 'Judah first.'" Can I hear you say, "Judah first"? "So the children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeah, and the men of Israel," Gibeah is Benjamin, "and the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeah. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeah, and on that day cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people," that is the men of Israel, "encouraged themselves and again formed the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first place, on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin?' And the Lord said, 'Go up against him.' So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day. And Benjamin went out against them from Gibeah on the second day and cut down to the ground 18,000 more of the children of Israel. All these drew the sword." So they were military men, not civilians. "He said, 'Then all the children of Israel," that is all the people, "went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. The ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, 'Shall I yet again go out of battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease?' And the Lord said, 'Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand.' Then Israel set men in ambush all around Gibeah. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in battle array against Gibeah as at the other times. So the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. They began to strike down and kill some of the people as at the other times in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah, and in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, 'They are defeated before us as at the first.' But the children of Israel said, 'Let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways.'" Verse 33, "So all the men of Israel rose from their place and put themselves in battle array at Baal Tamar. Then Israel's men in ambush burst forth from their position in the plain of Geba. And 10,000 select men from Israel, from all Israel, came out against Gibeah, and the battle was fierce. But the Benjamites did not know that disaster was upon them. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed that day 25,100 Benjamites. Again, all these drew the sword." Verse 36, "So the children of Benjamin saw that they were defeated, The men of Israel had given ground to the Benjamites because they relied on the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeah. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. You can have your seats. Paul wrote and he said, till I come, give attention to reading. Meaning just the reading alone is a blessing. Can I have an amen? Just when you read, sometimes, you know, people say, I'm not reading the Bible. I don't read so much because I don't understand it. Just read. Can I have an amen? Please look at your neighbor and say, just read. There's a blessing attached to the reading. There's greater blessing attached to the studying. Can I have an amen? And there's an even greater blessing attached to studying and meditating upon the word. But at least read. Hallelujah. So the last time I did give a background to it, and I'll make it a very short one today. Basically, Benjamin is a tribe of Israel, and the children of Benjamin had committed a rape and a murder. So they raped a man's wife, murdered the woman, and the man was so distraught that he took the wife that had been killed and cut her into pieces and sent the pieces all around the different tribes of Israel. And everybody became very angry and said, what kind of crime is this? We will not accept it. And they sent to Benjamin and they said, bring out the people who did this and we will deal with them. Let them face the wrath of the law. And the Benjamites said, no. And so war began between the Benjamites and the children of Israel. Does it sound familiar? Sounds familiar like Nigeria, is it? Some people commit a crime. They murdered a woman. Right? And then they said, we will arrest the people that did it. And the people said, no. Are you there? The Lord will heal our land. If you don't know, I don't know where you have been. You know, but that's what's going on in Sokoto. And we're praying the Lord will move with his mighty hand. And it's the beginning of the end for such behavior in this country, in Jesus' name. So they did that, the Benjamites did that, and then war began, basically. And the children of Israel, in beginning the war, went to God to inquire of God. And God did not just say they can, God actually gave them strategy. God said to them, Judah should go first. So they went out to fight. And when they went to fight, the first time the Bible says that 22,000 of the Israelites were killed by the Benjamites. God told them, go. God told them how to go. But when they went out, 22,000 of them were killed by the enemy. And they were distraught. They were wondering, did God tell me to do it? I thought, you know, all the I thoughts that you are thinking every time that you are something is not going the way you wanted to go. The thought. So they thought, and they went to God again. And God said, go again. And they went again, and 18,000 of them were killed. Now they were taunting very much. Because this is very confusing. It's now 40,000 dead, and God said to go. So they were in confusion. They came back crying, and they were saying, God, shall we go yet again? And God said, go. Because tomorrow, this time around, I'm giving a timing. Tomorrow, I will deliver Benjamin into your hands. Are you there? Listen, sometimes... Okay, let me put it this way. So, the story is very intriguing. I like the story very much because I think that's the kind of thing we all experience in our lives and our walk with God in one dimension or the other. Okay? In our jobs, in our families, and all of that, we have situations that daunt us. They confuse us. We say to ourselves, I thought God said. I thought, you know, and we're just confused. I believed God. I prayed. What is going on here? And that's why I like the story here. You know, and the point is this. Let me, so that I won't forget very quickly. Two times God said go. The third time God said tomorrow. Can I hear you say tomorrow? One of the issues with faith is that there is a time factor that tends to be confusing. There's a time factor where faith is concerned that tends to be confusing. Don't forget what I'm saying to you this morning. When he says to you, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not what? Cease. Somebody said maybe the better way to read it is this, that as long as the heavens remain, seed, time, and harvest shall not cease. Do you understand that? Seed, time, and harvest shall not cease. Seed, time, and harvest shall not cease. So the real problem is time. Can I hear you say time? You know, if everything we believe God for happened like that, so I pray now, 5 minutes later, I get the answer, nobody will have a problem with faith. Nobody will have a problem with walking with God. Nobody will have a problem with praying about everything that confronts them. Are you still with me? But where our problem comes from is the time factor. Three things you'll pick in the story, and they are related to what I'm saying now as an introduction. That the three things that worked for them, number one was they prayed. Number two was that they praised. Number three, they persisted. So I'm talking about how to always win. You will have to pray, you will have to praise, and you'll have to persist. All of them have something to do with the fact that the time factor. If you don't understand the time factor, you will have a problem with praying, you will have a problem with praising God, you will have a problem with persisting. Are you still there? He said in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, whatsoever you desire, no, verse 24, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. Listen, when he says whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. That automatically implies a time factor. How short or how long that time factor is not said. But he has already imputed it there. But when you pray, when you receive it, is the time you pray. And you have to believe you receive at the time you pray. But when you have it, is different from when you believe you received it. Are you still there? When whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it now. And you shall have it later. That makes it a little clearer. Believe you receive it now, and you shall have it later. What does that mean? I believe I receive it now, but the manifestation of it is interwoven with the time factor. Are you still getting what I'm saying to you this morning? So you will have to understand that time is a factor in order for you to always win. And the three things that they did, number one, they prayed. We talked about prayer the last time. They prayed. And they prayed, I said, they prayed for two reasons. One, they were praying for instruction and direction. They wanted to know, God, shall we go? How shall we go? What do we do about this? And many times people are praying and praying and praying, but they are doing very little praying, asking God, God, what should I do? Most often we are asking God to simply bless what we plan to do. We are not asking him and saying, God, what is the plan? Are you still there? If we are going to get the best in life, the best out of life, the best out of situations, we need to ask God, what exactly is the plan that he has? The Bible says that many are the plans in the heart of a man, but only the Lord's will that shall stand. Only the will of God will stand. So it is absolutely important. It is a compulsory thing, if I may put it that way, that I have to ask God, what do you want me to do about XYZ? Second reason why they prayed, I'm moving because of time, was that they prayed for strength. If you are going to win, you can't afford to become weak. You can't afford to get tired. You can't afford to lose hope. You can't afford to give up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you will become weak. You will become tired. You will give up if you are not praying. Life is tough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Life is tough. Is anybody here with me? Am I the only one who knows that or who believes that? Huh? Life is tough. But you can be tougher.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can be tougher, but the only way to be tougher is that you must be a praying person. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, you have overcome them, little children, for greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Listen, what I like about that verse is that he acknowledges that I'm a little child. It acknowledges that I am nobody. It acknowledges that I'm incapable. But if I can look on the inside, dig deep on the inside, draw strength from the inside, then I am able to overcome. Are you hearing me? When he says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you may ask or think, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, he said it is according to the power that works within you. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that said, I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. That is that I may be a small man. I may not have muscles. I may not have six pack. And like I think it was Mr. Sajid that said, it's amusement park that I have. Are you hearing me? But I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside. Why am I 1,000 times bigger on the inside? Because I pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. It says that he that prays in other tongues edifies himself. Edifies himself. The better word in Greek is a word that is similar to charging yourself, like we charge our batteries. It's like charging yourself like you charge your battery. And if your phone is not charged, you will realize that the weaker your phone becomes, the less the functions it can perform. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So at a point you are putting on your phone, you want to take a picture and it's not working. Camera is not coming on. The phone is on, but the camera is not coming on. Why? Because the battery is weak. Many believers are weak. The battery is weak, is not charged, and so they can't do the things they are meant to do. Are you still there with me, anybody? Psalm 27, verse 13. He said, I would have given up. I would have lost hope. Except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then verse 14, he said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen you. When you wait on the Lord, he strengthens you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. If you will spend time waiting, there's strength. So for two things they did, they were praying. They were praying for direction, and they were praying so that they will be strong. Are you still there? Number two, praise. So when they were praying, they asked God, who shall go first? And God said, Judah first. Can I hear say Judah first again? Say it loud. Say Judah first. Say it like you've had breakfast, even though you haven't. Say Judah first. The word Judah means praise. They said, who will go first? God said, praise first. When you step into the battles of life, when you step into any situation, as you believe God, wrap it up in praise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you will always win, your praise, your thanksgiving must be resounding and constant. Listen, when he says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it now and you shall have it later. If I believe I receive it now when I prayed, what follows that is to praise God and thank God because it is done, because I've received it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So before they even stepped out on day one of the battle, God said, put the praise first. God said, begin to praise me first. They went and they fought and 22,000 were brought down. God said, praise first. They went, they fought, 18,000 were brought down. God said, praise first. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I hear? He said, praise first. You can't afford not to praise God. Wait, listen, the praise is the highest expression of our faith. The praise and the thanksgiving that we offer is the highest expression of our faith. It's the best way possible that we express that we believe. Somebody says to you, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to give you 2,000 naira. I'll send you 2,000 naira. What do? You say, when I see it, I will thank you. Huh? How many people talk that way? Say, when I see it, I will thank you. What do? You thank him. Why are you thanking him? Have you seen the 2,000 naira? But you believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The highest expression of your faith, you have no doubt, you believe God has done it, is that your praise and your thanksgiving goes first. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the children of Moab and the Ammonites came against the children of Israel with others with them. And the Bible says they came to attack them, and the children of Israel called for a fast, and they fasted and they waited upon God. And God said to them, this battle is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. You will not need to fight in this battle. For the battle is the Lord's. And so as they stepped out, the Bible says that they put the singers, as they were organizing their military approach, they put the singers on the front row and the singers to praise God and to exalt his name. And the Bible says that as they praised God, the enemies turned on themselves and began to help. The Bible said they began to help to kill themselves. If you will always win, you must learn how to praise God. You must learn how to thank God when you have not seen the first thing yet. When it doesn't look like it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When 22,000 are brought down. When 18,000 are brought down. You will still have to learn how to give God praise. Psalm 76 verse 1, it says in Judah, is God known? That is, if you want to see God, if you want to know God in his majesty, in his might, in his glory, in his awesomeness, then give him the praise that he deserves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, let the people praise thee. Let all the people praise thee, O Lord. Then our God shall bless us. Hallelujah. Psalm 22 verse 3 says that he inhabits the praises of his people. One says, actually, he builds he sits on the praises of his people like a throne. If you're going to see the best of God, then you'll have to learn how to praise God even before the first thing happens yet. Go to John chapter 6. John 6. If you win always, praise goes first, even before you see it. Hallelujah. Even before you see the victory, praise goes first. John chapter 6. Are you with me? I say, are you still here? Verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now a Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread, that this may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So they are not worried about money. Are you with me? Money is not the problem. They were not worried about money. I'm answering a few religious questions. Jesus was poor. A few religious questions. 200 denarii is not enough. You know, where will we find bread to buy? It's where to buy enough. That was the problem. Not the money to buy enough, but where to find enough. Are you still following me? So one of his disciples, verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, can I hear you say, when he had given thanks? When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. I want you to see the difference between Andrew and Jesus. Andrew saw provision. But the moment he saw provision, he knocked down the provision. there are five fish and Abi, five loaves and two fish. But what are these among so many? What are these among so many? There are many grumblers around. Are you hear what I'm saying? People grumble about everything. What kind of job is this? God said, we do it. All I have is, it's been 3 years. All that has happened is, something happened. Are you following what I'm saying? The people that hold the five leaf, like the five loaves and two fish, and they can't be grateful for it. They can't look at it and begin to thank God for it. And say, wow, God gave five loaves and two fish. Wow, in the middle of the desert, five loaves. Listen, it's a miracle on its own. At the end of the day, they fed what? 5,000 men. If you went through the bags of 5,000 men, and there was no biscuit. You understand what I'm talking about? There was no biscuit to be found. No chin chin to be found. No groundnut to be found. Among 5,000 people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then you came across five loaves. And two fish. You say, wow, thank God. Five loaves and two fish. Abi, two fishes. Abi? But it's easy also to forget and immediately start looking and say, ah, but what is that among so many? But you didn't even find chin chin before. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There was no provision before. Nobody had anything in their bags. Nobody had anything at all. Not only so, there was nowhere to buy anything. Then you found five loaves and two fish. And as the man said, here is five loaves and two fish. He also, with his own mouth, knocked it down and said, but what is that among so many? But what he said, not what is that among so many, the Bible says Jesus took it and gave thanks. Father, I thank you. Wow, that in the middle of nowhere, you have given us five loaves and two fishes. I thank you because we're in the desert, and yet you made it possible that this boy remembered to bring five loaves. The boy didn't even bring one loaf. It's not a wacky and die boy. You know what I'm talking about? God, you put it in the mind of this boy to not bring one, not bring two, but he brought five. One for each 1,000. Father, we give you praise for the five loaves. Thank you for this kind of provision. You are taught ahead. That's why there are five loaves here. And as he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, make the people sit down. And don't share it in little bits. He said, give them till they are satisfied. So they were not cutting small, small. They were saying, take more. Take as much as you want. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because praise and thanksgiving will multiply the loaves in your hand. Are you with me? What you have will be multiplied if you will only begin to give God thanks for it. If you win all of the time, begin to thank God for the things that he has done. Don't look from the negative side. Begin to look from the positive side. Are you here? We can talk about a half full room or a half empty room. We can talk about a half full bottle or a half empty bottle. It's how you see things that matters. Praise and thanksgiving is the highest expression of faith. Jump a few pages to John chapter 11. John the 11th chapter. You know what's in John 11th chapter? How many people know what's in John 11th chapter? Thank you, sir. It is what? The raising of Lazarus. How many people know what is the shortest verse in the Bible? Where is it found? John 11 what? This is draw your sword, Abby. Or what do you call it? Jesus wept is in what verse? Where? Where? Shortest verse of the Bible is where? Huh? Hey, multiple answers. It's an open book test. Huh? Hallelujah. What's the longest chapter of the Bible? Bible school students. What's the longest chapter of the Bible? 99.1k. Not 419. 119. What's the verse? The center verse of the Bible, the verse in the middle. Huh? Verse what? 18? What does it say? Hallelujah. Okay, brain teasers. You can go and check at home. John chapter 11. Have you found it now? So in John chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus. But this is what I want you to see. I think that's verse 41. Verse 41. So when he arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, nothing had happened. The Bible says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said what? Father, what kind of thing is this now? Eh? The man is my friend. You are shaming me like this. I mean, they know that he's very close to me. Why does he have to die? Why did he have to die like that? Now he's even already stinking. They have told me he's stinking already. The sisters are crying. Mary is even one of my partners in the ministry. Why? Lord, why? Why? Why Lazarus, Lord? Why not? I mean, somebody said every time you ask God, why me? You should suggest to him who he should be. When you say, why me? Tell him, why not Tunde? Maybe you know better. I mean, so he stood there, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said what? Father, I thank you. Woo! Glory to God. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Nothing has happened. Lazarus is still in the tomb. He's standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard. Not that you will hear, but that you have heard. He's still dead. The evidence is before my eyes, but I thank you that you have heard me. Why? Because whatsoever you believe, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it, and you shall have it. So I thank you that you have heard. Are you still there? If you can thank him that he heard, then you will have it. Hallelujah. Before I go to the last one, the story is told of a missionary to China years ago, written by Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, who was a medical doctor, great teacher of God's word, was healed miraculously, and dedicated the rest of her life to teaching and ministering divine healing. And she wrote about a missionary who went to China. And while she was there, she came down with smallpox. You know, smallpox was a killer disease. Most people who grew up now in the last how many decades have no clue what smallpox was or is. You know, but at least if you watch Yoruba movie, you hear Shokponon Yokpa. You know, when they say Shokponon, it's not a god. Shokponon is smallpox. Am I right? Sir? It's right. So they say Shokponon Yokpa, that is smallpox. That's how dreaded smallpox was, that they will use smallpox to threaten you and to curse you. Are you with me? So this woman has smallpox. And she was dying. She lay there dying, fever, all kinds of, rashes on her body. And she lay there dying, and she was praying, and nothing seemed to be working. She seemed to be getting worse. And then she began to ask God, God, what's going on? What's happening to me? When will you heal me? And God gave her a vision. And she saw two, you know, those things like the hand of justice of, the things the lawyers draw, that they draw in court. The scale that has one kidney and one there, and is balancing on the fulcrum. And God showed her, he said, the basket on one hand is full of smallpox. And it's very heavy and it's bent, so the thing's bent this way. He said, the other basket is full of your praise. And it's not nearly full. God said, when your praise becomes as full as the smallpox, you'll be healed. And so the woman began to praise God, began to thank God for her healing. began to give him praise for her healing. The smallpox was still there. The fever was still there. She began to thank God, And after a few days of praising and thanking God, a basket of praise got filled, and she was healed. When your basket of praise and thanksgiving becomes full, your miracle will be in your hands. Are you there? How will you always win? Let praise go first. Before you see anything, let praise go first. In spite of anything you see, let praise go first. Number three, persistence. Remember what I started with is that the time factor is what tends to defeat most people. Because of the time factor, we give up in the place of prayer. We are tired of praying. We are tired. We just say, the life, everything is too much. We don't pray as we should. Jesus said, everybody should pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because if they don't pray, they will faint. Are you there? Psalm 138 verse 3. He said, I will call upon the Lord and he will strengthen my heart. So apart from just getting an answer in prayer, we go there to get strength. So that we don't faint. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So the time factor makes us faint, but prayer will keep us running. The time factor makes us to give up on what we are believing God for, but get ready from the get-go to begin to give God praise and to begin to thank him for the answers that you have not seen yet, but you believe that you receive. But the time factor also requires that you just persist. Can I hear you say persist? Thank God that no matter what they saw, no matter what the defeat they faced, they kept going back to God and saying, should we go again? And God is a God that says what? Go again. Don't give up. I said to do it, so don't give up. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it until you see what I said you will see. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews the 10th chapter. So ever so often, people lose out on winning because they give up. They just give up. Somewhere along the line. They just decide they are not doing again. They are tired. Tired of doing that business. Tired of even going to church sometimes, isn't it? I'm tired. Since I've been going to church, you know what the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 11? Keep your hand here. Go to James 5, 11. We'll come back to Hebrews 10. We come back to Hebrews chapter 10. Or we come back to the book of Hebrews, actually. There are a number of verses here in Hebrews to read. James 5, 11. James 5, 11. There's no winning except you persist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The biggest trick in the book of the devil is delay. He delays things, and many people give up because there's a delay. So when Daniel was facing his troubles, I think that's Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says that he fasted, he prayed for 21 days, and then an angel came. And then the angel gave him a revelation. The angel said, Daniel, it is the first day you prayed that your prayer was heard and I was sent with the answer. Listen, believe you receive when? Now. The very first day you pray to God about whatever God answers. But the devil is a master of delay. Are you still there? Because he knows that when he delays, we give up on God. We think it's God denying us. And that's why the phrase was coined that says delay is not denial. That is delayed. God is not saying no because it's delayed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's delayed because the devil got in on the matter somewhere along the line. If you had asked God from the get-go and God said to do it, stay with it. Are you hearing me? Until you see what God has said. So when the angel came, he gave him a revelation. He said, from the first day you prayed, your prayer was heard and I was sent. He said, but on my way, I was waylaid by some hooligan area boy demons. They stopped me on the way. They challenged me on the way. And I needed help and reinforcement from heaven for me to come. That's why it took me 21 days to arrive with the manifestation. Are you hearing me? If Daniel had turned in 20 days and I said, God, I don't even know what kind of God you are, self, that would have been the end. Are you hearing me? If he stopped on the 20th day and said, God, I have all this prayer, fasting, I've not eaten since, and you won't even answer me. That's the end of the matter. But because Daniel persisted, he saw the answer and the angel revealed to him that your answer actually was dispatched from day one. James chapter 5, are you there? James 5 verse 11, he said, indeed. Can I hear you say indeed? He said, indeed, we count them blessed who do what? Who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. What I want you to just pay attention to today is that first sentence. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. The people we count blessed are the people who do what? Endure. So the people you are seeing, and say, he's blessed. It's because that guy just stays with it. Are you hearing me? He just sticks with it. He believes God said it, and he stays there, and he keeps doing what God told him to do. He doesn't give up easily. He said, indeed, we count them blessed. Who endure? Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read a number of verses this morning. Are you getting anything? Let's read Hebrews chapter 6. Remember, we're talking about how to always win. So on any matter, if you're going to win, you're not going to lose a single battle. You'll have to pray. You'll have to praise God. You'll have to persist. Are you still there? The Bible says in verse 11, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. The same diligence. Be as diligent, believing God's word. Be as diligent until the very end. It says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through what? Faith and what? Patience. Inherit the promises. The word patience means consistency. But imitate those, copy those who through faith and their consistency, they inherit the promises. The people who inherit the promises, they don't just have faith alone, no. They also are consistent with God. Are you hearing me? Good. Go further down. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews the 10th chapter. Are you there? Look at verse 23. It said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Wavering. Let's hold fast. Whatever we hope for, whatever we believe for, let us hold fast to it. Let's keep our confession. We're not going to change what we believe. We'll keep saying the same things that we believe, no matter what we are faced with. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? He said, for he who promised is faithful. So the reason why I can be consistent is not because of me. It's not because I have great faith. No. It's because I have a great God. Are you there? So there's somebody say, it's a great man of faith. He said, no, I'm a man with a great God. And it doesn't take a lot of faith to believe in someone who can't fail. Hallelujah. Because God can't fail. I can hold fast the confession of my faith without wavering. Go further down to verse 35. Are you getting anything now? Verse 35, the Bible says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Shekinah. I think this summarizes it very well. He said, you have need. It means it's compulsory. Are you with me? You have need, compulsory. You can't do without it. You have need of confidence. And he says, so that after you have done the will of God. So doing the will of God doesn't mean you receive the promise. Are you with me? Doing the will of God doesn't necessarily mean you receive the promise, but you must stay with the will of God. That's what he's talking about. That you can't afford to give up halfway. You must stick with the program. Do it come what may. Hallelujah. I think it's Kenneth Hagin who said, if you are willing to stand believing God forever, he said it won't take very long. But it's that attitude of faith that says, I will stay there. I don't care what it says. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I fear. I don't care what I hear. God said, and I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Amen. Let me close on this note. I was listening to a testimony of a gentleman, one of the leaders in the church I visited. And this guy shared a testimony that blessed me. He said he went to work one day, and his boss called him and said, congratulations, you are getting a 5-year bonus. He said, 5-year bonus. Wow, that's nice. He said, and the next day, he got an email true from admin, you know, that says, blah, 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 you have been, you know, a good conscientious worker, blah, blah, blah. And so the company, the management has decided to award you a 5-year bonus. The guy thought, wow, 5-year bonus, that is fantastic. That's great. You know, praise God, I got a 5-year bonus, you know, hallelujah. You know, the way you immediately think of what the money will solve. I mean, money answers all things. The money already, you start sending it message. It has not arrived, but you are sending it message already. He said, and then he got to work the next day, and they called him. And the guy called him and said, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. He said, that 5-year thing, we don't give anybody 5-year bonus. We've never done it before in the company. It was a mistake. We are very sorry, but it's just a mistake and all of that. He said, and he thought to himself, oh, okay, all right. He said, but then again, he thought about it again, and he thought, Otio. You give me, you take it back, Otio. He said, no, I'm not giving it back. He's not going. They haven't paid him anything, no. He said, just thought to himself, no, Lord, I thank you for my 5-year bonus. I'm not giving up on my 5-year bonus. He said, and he went to church, and he paid tithe on the 5-year bonus. He said, and then they called him back again. And he said, we've never done it before in this company, but we are indeed going to give you the 5-year bonus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Hallelujah. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Don't give up easily on your dream, on your faith, on what you have believed God for, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Let's stand on our feet. Begin to speak to him this morning. God's desire, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. God's desire is that we win always. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph always in Christ Jesus. Always. But if you triumph, you will pray, you will praise, you will persist. I don't know where you are giving up. But God is saying to you this morning, take it back. Take it back. Don't give up on that loved one. It's not going to hell. Don't give up on that dream business. It's going to blow, blossom, explode, whatever you want to call it. Remember what God told you at the start of it. Remember the conviction in your heart at the start of it. Remember when you knew that you knew that you knew that God was in it. God said, I still am, and you don't go anywhere. Don't give up on it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Victory is coming. Increase is coming. Win is coming. There may be no wind, there may be no rain, yet the valley will be full of water. Yegala bahashta brahande sekeleges tapali gedosa vraste tekes tabakado sapande lebroso fredile kekela bahande ninde hasta brando sufeli gadanga de dodosa fredista lebokosa fredista bahande. Yeah, le boko poro boste vakadile bahande. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. I've not changed my mind about what I said. You are the one who changed. Now change back. Change back. And realign with me. Realign with what I've said. Realign with what I showed you. Realign with that conviction in your heart again. Reconnect with it again. And you'll see my mighty hand. Nothing is off limits. Nothing is beyond me, says the Lord. Don't be afraid to believe again. Don't be afraid to believe again. Sekele bashta brande sitele bahanda libra safa kadoshta brahande. Don't say it's too much or it's been too long. For a day is like 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is like one day. God dwells in timelessness. Just believe you receive it now, and you shall have it. Kele bahande sutali brasto fradesh tabahane lebo kopoko pokali bahasta brahane legegegeshta brahano sokro boso velishta brahane. I don't know why I keep feeling like it's pray for you. Just come. Lebo so produced a brahande suto brahande se ekele bahasta. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. According to the head, the direction of the head of the church, I pray for you. God's blessing. Mighty hand. Yeah. The many things is shown, not just about you, but your family. It shall come to pass. Yeah, shall come to pass. Thank you for your mighty hand comes on her now. Strengthens her. Strengthens her. Strengthens her heart. Yeah, the boldness, the hope for the future rises again. Yeah, rises again. Rises again. Le brakamando sufredishta bahata. Rises again. Le broko porakadishta prahande. Le bosoko porosta fredishta. Le so prades tefekele bahande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 32:27. God says, I'm the Lord. Is there anything too difficult for me? Is there anything too difficult for me? Of course, the answer is no. But you'll have to put that answer in your heart and brood upon it again and again and again and again and again. As he said it, will he not do it? As he said it, and will he not bring it to pass? He will. Let's begin to give him praise this morning. Just thank him this morning. Thank him this morning. Nekekele bahasto brahasto fredishta bahande. Lebro popo poshekele bahande. Lord, we thank you. 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 Lega bahasta branese ketele brekede bahaso pradishta. Lord, we thank you. Lego goshta brahande. And at this time also, if you need to make peace with God, please go ahead and do so. Whether you are here, whether it's online, do so now. Put your hand on your chest where you are. And just talk to him and tell him, Lord, this morning I come to you. Jesus, I declare you are Lord over my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you because by your death and resurrection, you have delivered me from sin and death. Legadoshta, and I commit my life to you this morning. I am yours. If you are doing that again, tell him I commit my life to you again this morning. I rededicate myself. I am yours. Zegele bahashta brando sofredishta bahata. Mele bokondo sofredishta bahata. I think you want prayer. Let me pray with you. Legadoshta. Leged Oshta Brahande. Sufake Legeshta Brahande. Am I right? You were desiring that hands be laid upon you. And I do so according to the direction of a head of a church. I pray the strength of God. It says that we might be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, by His Spirit in the inner man, by His Spirit in the inner man, by His Spirit in the inner man. Let strength rise within you. Lebo kroboso vredi. Ya leboso vredishta bahane. Ye galoshta. Yeah, and I see direction. I see direction. Le broko bondo sofredi. I see direction. Le brando sofredishta bahane. Yeah. Le broko bondo sofredishta bahata. I see clarity. Clarity, 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 clarity. Clarity. Yeah. As His mighty hand strong on you now, strong on you now, strong on you now. Yeah. And Lord will visit you in the night time and show you that which is to be. And as He does, commit to doing it. Yeah. The grace Maprokoshta Brahande Sifredishta Bahane. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lebo Krobosta Vradishta Bahada. Lege Lebo Kokosta Brahanda Sotoro Bosta Vrakede Bosta. Just begin to give Him praise, everybody. Just thank Him. Thank Him. You're sick in your body, just put your right hand where that pain or whatever it is. If you can't reach it, just put it on your chest, right wherever you are. And right where you are, I trust God that His mighty hand comes upon you now. I rebuke the sickness. I rebuke the pain. I command it, be gone by the power of God. Yeah. That's the mighty hand of God. You are made well, whole, even now. Even now, the power of God beats you, envelopes you, comes upon you like showers of rain, like showers of rain, like showers of rain. Causes a cure, healing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you. We give you praise and glory, Lord, this morning.
We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you.
One more time.